Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for listening, and do be sure that you have hit the subscribe button so that you get every episode automatically every week. There is no cost to subscribe. It's simply an option you select one time for convenience. We even have a subscribe page on the website that tells you not only the many places where, but how you can subscribe. Again, though, there's no cost to do that. One benefit was seen last week when the episode, for whatever reason, didn't show up on Apple Podcasts until very late, much later than usual, but subscribers would have gotten that delivered at the time that they're used to every week. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please be sure to like, follow, comment, etc. on those platforms. I'd love to see more people on those social media channels and more interaction. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners and even post prayer requests in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that too on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Also, please help me spread the word about the show. I'd appreciate it if you would tell others about Catholic Sports Radio as I continue trying to draw in more listeners in the hopes that this ministry will bring them closer to Christ. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. In terms of my ministry moment for this episode, now that the NFL season has ended, we'll be hearing more about next season and the Raiders starting to play in Las Vegas, where a new stadium has been getting built. Of course, we know that the same has been happening towards a new facility in Los Angeles. Plus, work has been going on for some time now for the arena that will host the new Seattle NHL team. It's all about luxury, comfort, top amenities, and being state-of-the-art for watching sports. Some fans have oversized TVs and an elaborate man cave in their home from which to watch sports. But in Matthew chapter 8, it says, Jesus answered, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." So, have you prepared a place for the Lord in your home? Do you have a prayer room or at least a prayer table that you go to for quiet time with him? Let's not invest time and resources in making extensive preparations to watch sports, only to leave our Lord and Savior outside. Moving on now with episode 53, my guest is the Director of Football Operations at Miami University in Ohio, where he is also the team chaplain. Among the many tasks he handles is being the liaison for NFL scouts. He had played football collegiately and went on to serve on the coaching staff of his alma mater, Grand Valley State. He was born and raised Catholic and is married and the father of two. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Matt Yochus.
Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm thrilled to be talking to your listeners today.
Well, thanks ever so much. Let's sort of back into this. Listeners, if Matt's name sounds familiar, it's because his sister was a guest on this show way back on episode 14, Sister Rita Claire Yochus. She played professional football for 4 years after having previously been an athlete in another sport, having earned a full basketball scholarship to Detroit Mercy, where she played for 4 years. So Matt, in a minute, I'm going to ask you for your version of your family's Catholic faith and sports background. But first, when your sister decided she was going to become a nun, were you surprised by it?
I was, but at the same time, both my sister and I were discerning our vocation at about the same time, going through a lot of the same things. I was maybe a year or so ahead of her, so I kind of knew what she was going through and the things that she was trying to grapple with. So it didn't completely shock me. I knew the way that she was talking about her vocation and the things that she was doing, that I kind of had a feeling that it was going to lead in that direction. So I was not as blindsided as some people were who hadn't talked to her in, you know, the previous, you know, year or two, that she was really discerning her her vocation and
gotcha.
Where that was going to lead.
Gotcha. Yeah, and you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, to use a football term, blindsided, but you used that one accurately, that you are not. And listeners, obviously, after you hear the conversation here with Matt, go back and listen to episode 14 with his sister. And if you never heard episode 39 also of Catholic Sports Radio, go back and listen to that one. I spoke with Father John Perdue, who is the Director of Vocations for the Diocese of Peterborough up in Ontario, Canada, and he heads up the Flying Fathers, which is a team of Catholic hockey-playing priests. And during our discussion, it was noted that his sister is a nun, and he talks on that interview about the way that she's involved with what he's doing. In the meantime, Matt, give us your picture of the Yochis family as you were a youngster in terms of the Catholic faith and sports background.
Yeah, our family was, I would say, a typical Catholic family. Parents were Catholic, and their parents were Catholic, so we were all born and raised, baptized in the faith, went through 12 years, 13 years of Catholic education, and, you know, my sisters were older than I was. I was the baby of the family, so I grew up, you know, watching them play, watching them make their first communions and their confirmations, and so they were always role models to me. And, you know, within our family, we were very active at our school within athletics. And our school sponsored athletics. Our school was our home parish as well, so somewhat unique. I know that nowadays kids might, you know, go play for a school and attend a church somewhere else or vice versa, but we were all, you know, just kind of housed right there. So we were educated, you know, went through our Catholic formation and ended up playing and doing everything right there at Divine Child in Dearborn, Michigan.
And what sports were you yourself playing there?
Primarily, you know, our family, we were all basketball players. And I was not as good of a basketball player, I'm not ashamed to say it, as my sister. It took me a while. We were less than 2 years apart. And my sister, Sister Rita Claire, you know, she was, for the time being, she was a little bit bigger, a little bit taller. And it took me a while to catch up. And then once I caught up, it took me a while to, you know, develop the skill set to actually beat her on the basketball court. Or actually, it took a while for me to just figure out, hey, I just got to shove her around and beat her up a little bit. And if you've met Sister Rita Claire, you know that she doesn't shy away from contact. And so she would welcome it. She would eventually, you know, tell me, hey, you know, come on out on the court. I need you to follow me and need you to, you know, rough me up and everything like that. And so we played basketball. My dad coached every single one of us.
Wow.
Coached me less than he coached my sisters, but he was a basketball coach. And then I slowly, you know, moved away from playing basketball. I think I was going into the ninth grade, and I attended a basketball camp in the summer, and, you know, the coach who worked with me at the end of it said, hey, you did a great job. He said, do you by chance play football? I said, yeah, I'm a football player as well. And he said, yeah, you should probably, you know, gravitate more towards that. And I eventually did. And like I said, I was bigger than my sister, and I ended up playing defensive line in college, and wasn't necessarily an undersized defense lineman. So I fit more of the football, I guess, body type than the long, skinny basketball player.
Type.
And then I also, I mean, growing up played soccer, played baseball.
Wow.
In high school, all 4 years, I was on our track team. Primarily doing field events, shot put, discus, ran a little.
Wow.
Running wasn't my forte.
Well, speaking of high school, though, in the lead up to today, you told me that it was then in high school that not only did you begin to grow a deeper desire to practice your faith, but even learned how to connect it to athletics. Talk about that.
Yeah, slowly and surely, you know, as I grew in my faith, and, you know, I had my times that were not the brightest, and you know, not something I was proud of, but you know, I made mistakes along the way and had some challenges with my faith and had some challenges just being a teenager and growing up. But eventually, you know, I felt at home at church. If anything, the 1 hour on Sunday in church made more sense than any other hour of the day, any other minute of the day. And I just, you know, became more and more drawn to it and realizing what, you know, God had called me to do. And, you know, at the time, of course, you know, I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to play in the NBA. I'm going to, you know, be a great athlete. And I got these great talents. And, you know, you're a little bit barn blind, you know, growing up in one area and playing high school and grade school ball at the same gym. You don't realize what else is out there. And, you know, I thought I had a great talent. And my connection to God became, well, I got this great talent. How do I use that to glorify God?
Wow.
And that was always a desire of mine, was to make the most of the talent that God had given me. And again, not knowing that others had much greater talent. But my desire was to do that every way, shape, or form that I possibly could. And like I said, I learned as I went. I remember, you know, before each football game, we played Saturday night. So that meant Saturday morning we attended Mass as a team. And before we got on the bus, we would pray as a team in front of the Virgin Mary. And I remember I would always say the prayer. I would always be very reverent and devout at that time. And then as soon as I got on the bus, I, you know, felt like, hey, I got to flip this switch and I got to be a football player and I got to, you know, leave God, you know, there and do whatever I possibly could on the field to be successful.
Yeah.
I learned eventually, hey, you don't leave God in the locker room when you go out to play.
Was that a Catholic high school?
It was. Yeah. We,
okay.
We attended Divine Child High School in Dearborn.
Okay. Okay. Let's move on to your college years and two men that you met and the impact they had on your faith life.
Yeah, the first one that really inspired me was my defensive line coach, and that was Jimmy Williams. Jimmy Williams played professionally in the NFL, I believe 12 years. The majority of the time was with the Lions. So I was automatically drawn to him that he was highly successful, played for my Detroit Lions. But Jimmy, more than anything, was a man of God. And he was someone who was not afraid to share his faith with anyone. And he was one of the first people that showed me that you don't leave God in the locker room. And like I said, in high school, I felt like, hey, I can be, you know, a Christian, I can be a Catholic, I can be a good person, but when I step out on the field, you know, I'm a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And he challenged me to do that. And also, you know, attending a secular university, I wasn't constantly surrounded by other Catholics. You know,
sure.
I was in a locker room with guys who hadn't been to church, guys who had been to church and strayed away from it or anything like that. And so Coach Williams really challenged me to be a leader.
Okay.
And that was also facilitated by Marlon Viss, who was a campus chaplain. And he, although didn't work for the university, was, you know, welcomed on campus to work with all students. But he gravitated towards football players and athletes. And he was, again, someone who showed me that, hey, although some people get scared away by working with athletes, sometimes because of, you know, their aggressive nature on the field or their competitiveness, sometimes the language, sometimes the areas in which they come from. But his motto, or I guess the way that he lived, was sometimes those are the people that need God the most, you know. And if we, you know, just stay in the church where everyone knows the Bible and everyone knows God, and we don't get out and evangelize, we'll never get out of our comfort zone and really do some of the work that God has called us to do. And so those two people, those two men really, pushed me.
Yeah.
Allowed me to see, hey, that your faith isn't just something you practice quietly with your, hands folded on your knees in church by yourself.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And so listeners, as you hear Matt's evolution of his faith life, tell them, Matt, where that took you to, the influence that they had, that those two individuals had on you in terms of where you went to next in terms of faith-wise.
Yeah, I think it was my sophomore year in college is when Jimmy Williams and Marlon Viss started up what you call a huddle of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so we had all kinds of athletes, a good amount of football players, but there was basketball players, volleyball players, softball players, runners, swimmers, divers, and then all varieties of faith. So we had Protestants, Catholics, evangelicals, you name it. Some people who didn't know any better, didn't know, that there was a difference between any faith, but we all just came together and we fellowshipped. We had weekly Bible studies, and eventually I kind of was thrust into being a leader. And we always strive to have a student-led Bible study versus, just being preached at by two guys that were plenty capable of, teaching and preaching, but they wanted us as students to lead. And that led me to, leading some Bible studies.
Wonderful.
Leading some pregame chapels. And that really, was what I felt comfortable doing.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And listeners, there's someone else that Matt cites as an inspiration, and you might be surprised at who it is or isn't. But before I have him reveal that person's identity, not to mention telling us about his current role, I want to mention first that whether you work at a Catholic church or school, or if you work or volunteer for a diocese or are involved with your parish or some other ministry or organization that does events such as a sports night, a parish mission, a men's conference, a diocesan event, or maybe even something a little less predictable, a little less traditional. Maybe it's out in the secular world. Something else where my Catholic Sports Radio ministry is a fit. I would be most grateful for the opportunity to come in as a guest speaker for whatever the occasion is that you or others are planning. Do familiarize yourself with my faith walk and my sports background, both on episode one of this show as well as on the website where it says Meet the Host in the About section. And then look for the 5-question Request Bruce as a Guest Speaker form on CatholicSportsRadio.net to start that conversation. And then also on CatholicSportsRadio.net, if you do like what I'm doing here, if you're tuning in regularly to Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life, if you believe in this ministry, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you're getting some type of value, some benefit from it, and want to help out, I would appreciate your support. I am just a one-man show, taking this all on by myself, including doing all the producing, hosting, and editing of this show every week, as well as the administrative and promotional work, booking the guests, and so on, which means that all the expenses come out of my pocket. So if you feel I'm giving you something each week that you'd like to support, utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which will give you the opportunity to contribute in whatever amount you wish, securely online. And for those of you that don't like the idea of putting credit card information online, just email me, bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will get you an address to send a check or money order to via U.S. mail. Otherwise, look for the Donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net. Pray about it and see if this ministry might be somewhere that you feel inspired to include in your tithing. I would truly appreciate your support. Just to give you one quick example, if you've ever wondered what are some of these expenses, there's a massive event coming up at the end of February that I wanted to attend, but in inquiring about sponsorship options or being an exhibitor, the costs are just too high for me to bear. So unfortunately, not only am I not going to be a sponsor or exhibitor, but I won't even be attending. So in case you're curious about what an example is of the costs that your contribution would help me with, that's just one. Matt, let's talk about your role at Miami University as Director of Football Operations. And this might be a good teaching moment for some listeners. You went from being a defensive lineman for 4 years at Grand Valley State, including winning 2 national championships, to then being on their coaching staff. And now at Miami University, you're the Director of Football Operations. as Catholics, we are called to humility, and I would think that as the spotlight has gotten smaller on Matt Yochus over the years, you've had to come to terms with exactly that. So, assuming that I'm right, what kind of advice can you give athletes relative to transitioning out of the spotlight of being a player in whatever their sport is? And for that matter, how did you deal with it?
Well, I think, you know, we all have different talents and unique abilities. Some of us are capable of doing certain things. Some of us have a radio voice. Some of us just don't, like me. Some people are good with the written word. Some people are good with the spoken word. I look at my role now. This is what I've been called to do. There's not a whole lot of people that are, you know, willing to do this. Some people don't want to get their hands dirty. Some people thrive in those situations. I enjoy serving others. I enjoy being the person behind the scenes. To me, that's, I guess, my selfish way of being a part of the team. I don't want to be out in the front of it. I don't want to be getting the credit. I don't want people patting me on the back. I just want to do my job, do it to the best of my ability. And hopefully, you know, with being a director of football operations, my goal is always to allow our team to have success, and nothing that I do prevents them from having that success.
Wow.
I want them to just be focused on the game, focused on, you know, playing and doing their best, and not worrying about some of the other little details and things that kind of go in the way and give them more anxiety.
Yeah.
About playing the game or traveling or, you know, getting their education and, you know, enjoying their time as a student athlete.
Yeah, nicely said, nicely said. And I mentioned in the intro that you're charged with a variety of tasks, including being the liaison for NFL scouts, among others. So how does Team Chaplin end up falling under your responsibilities? And then also, for that matter, your undergrad was in movement science and your master's was in education. So what sort of study or training did you undergo to prepare to be a team chaplain?
I would say that the same thing that allows me to be a director of football operations. People have asked me what type of training or certification do I have. And similar to coaching, maybe not so similar to teaching. But when I went into teaching, I knew I wanted to go work with kids. I wanted to help them learn, help them develop. And I see being a chaplain as the same. And I tell our guys, I don't have any formal training of, you know, how to develop your faith. I'm just here to try and facilitate that in your life. Allow God to grab a hold of you, do some work in your life. And I don't, again, try to have any sort of spotlight on me as the team chaplain. I subscribe to the same mode of thinking that I want student-led studies. I don't want to stand up there in front of guys and tell them, this is how you have to do this, this is where you have to be, any of those things. And so I look at it the same way that I was a coach, and I was going to share my faith with guys no matter what. I'm pretty fortunate that my head coach that I work for now, he was the head coach that hired me to be his defensive line coach at Grand Valley State. I'm not going to lie, he probably hired me more to be his team chaplain when I was a defensive line coach. He probably hired me more to be his team chaplain than to be his director of football operations, because that's just the person that he is. He sees that as, again, we all have our strengths and we all have our weaknesses. That's not his strength, and he's not afraid to admit that.
Well, but at the same time, it sounds like what you're saying is, I'm not the team chaplain, Bruce. God is the team chaplain, and he just uses me as the vessel to communicate his message to the players the way they need to hear it.
You're exactly right about that, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I once heard a pastor say, hey, you know, it's not your job to convert anyone. Get them to church. Let God do the work, you know, and that's how I view, you know, our chaplaincy program and anything that we do with our guys, that I'm just here to, you know, help God do some of the work that he needs to get done.
Yeah, even if you are standing up in front of all of them, the Holy Spirit is there with you. So it's not Matt Yoches doing it by himself. I said before that you have someone else that you cite as an inspiration and more. Tell the listeners who I'm referring to and just expand on that view that I'm referencing.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a coincidence, but, you know, when I talked about my sophomore year at college and starting up a FCA huddle, that year was, in that exact time, was 9/11. I was a student, and at the time I was dating my wife. And, you know, 9/11 happened, and as horrific as an event as it was, led us to strengthening our faith. I think it probably led a lot of people to strengthening their faith. More specifically, you know, the next day, me and my girlfriend at the time said, let's go to daily mass. And we did. And it just worked out that semester, we both had 2 days that we didn't have an early morning class and we could get to daily mass. And so we attended daily mass 2 days out of the week. And,
nice.
And that, of course, that strengthened us, that helped us to grow. And I definitely, you know, she's been, you know, my angel since I met her, sent from God. And I wouldn't be where I am today and who I am without her. And she's one of the most humble and modest people in the world. But she's helped me to grow. She's helped me to see God in her. And that's always been my inspiration. You know, when I think that I can't, you know, do any better, or, you know, I'm struggling, and I look at her and she makes me want to be a better person.
Mm.
She makes me want to serve God the way that He's called me to do. And I know that she's been through some tough things in her life. And in particular, when I talked about, you know, discerning my vocation, as I was dating her, I was discerning becoming a priest.
Wow.
And that was something that was incredibly challenging for her, you know, and she never wanted to feel like she was standing in the way of, you know, God's call, you know, as she, you know, sat there, you know, hoping that I would one day ask her to be, you know, my wife. And, you know, and that is what my calling was. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, always ask me, you know, like, you know, why didn't you become a priest? Why didn't you become a priest? And I said, God didn't call me to become a priest. He called me to become a husband and called me to become a father. And that's my
right.
vocation. And
that's right.
I'm proud of that. I many times in my life, I wanted to become a priest, but that's not what God called me to do.
Yep.
And I wasn't going to go against what He asked me to do. And I am proud, you know, that I've been called to become a husband, a father, and I get to work with, you know, a number of great people every single day because
outstanding. Outstanding. Yeah, and you still get to be in a position where you can serve. Well, Matt, this has been wonderful. God bless you and your family, and thank you for the work that you're doing there in God's name, and thanks for your time for Catholic Sports Radio.
Absolutely. I'm glad you called, and I'm glad we got to have this interview.
For sure. And listeners, we're going to close fittingly with a team prayer for coaches. Let's do that together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, we pray for our coaches. We thank you for their unselfish dedication to the team. We thank you for the hours they have dedicated to their team and for the honor they bring to their school by their leadership and commitment. Lord God, bless our coaches in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.